In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So today we are offering this Mass again, as we do on all these days that are free, in thanksgiving for the great gift that God has given us in human life, and thanksgiving for what He did for us this year in ending the scourge of Roe v. Wade through our land, so that there's a possibility for life, for children to be protected totally from the womb. May that speedily be visited upon the whole of the United States, particularly here in New Mexico. Now, tomorrow I will also be offering Mass right next to this evil organization by the name of Planned Parenthood. I'll be offering right in the very place where next door they abort children. I'll be offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass for those who are fighting against that, to make sure that those who come to them realize that they have an opportunity to save life rather than next door to destroy life in that early period of time. If you yourselves happen to be free on the 16th of November, they will be having a particular gala that is a great and incredible event. Are you familiar with the sport of football? You know about that, Elijah, too, where they throw the pigskin around? You know that game? There's a guy by the name of Tim Tebow who played professional football who will be there. And if you just want to meet him, all you got to do is say, "I want to be there," and you can go hang out with him. I'm definitely going to be there on the 16th. And so on that day, we will only have, it's a Wednesday, I believe, so we will only have the morning Mass that I'll be able to be there for, unless I can find another priest who just can't make it out to that, and they'll cover for me on the evening Mass. But since I'm involved in the apostolate, that's what it'll be. So put that on your calendars to support that. Now, our Lord speaks today these words. Have you ever heard somebody say that Jesus is a nice guy? Have you ever heard somebody say that? Isn't Jesus a nice guy? Does a nice guy go to people and say, "You're the worst. Do you realize how bad you are? Do you realize that you're doing all these terrible things," and put it to their face? Is that what a nice guy normally is thought of as doing? But what does Jesus do? Confronts them. Where is our Lord Jesus when he's saying these words? Do you know? That's a homework assignment. Go and read Luke chapter 11. You'll see where he's at. Where do you think he's at? Anybody know? That's right. He's at a dinner party. Somebody just invited him over to their house. So when people tell you, "Well, look, we got to go hang out with people who are sinners and just love them in their sin and like say that their sin is all right," well, our Lord does do all those things. He loves people in the midst of their sins. He wishes to go out and hang out with anybody no matter where they are. He wishes to bring his love to them, but his love isn't, "Hey, you're all right just as you are. Stay just as you are." What does he do when he's there? He always confronts them in the thing that they're doing, because his love says, "I love you, but I've got something deeper for you. I've got something deeper for you." And so he challenges them in their struggles. That's what our Lord does here. He's at a dinner party. This is supposed to be light conversation, right? And what does he do? "Woe to you, woe to you, woe to you. These are the things you're doing wrong. Fix your life, because I want you to go to heaven." Now, specifically, what is he confronting them on today? One thing. Does anybody know what a tithe is? What's a tithe? I'm not wearing my glasses, so I can't see in the very back. Unfortunately, I left them. I don't know where they're at. Do you know what a tithe is? What's a tithe? Well, you know, when they pass the basket around at church, you put in your tithes, right? Those are things that you give to God, right? That's what a tithe is. But literally, a tithe is 10%, 10% of your income. And so what our Lord is saying, that there's rules, there are laws on the book that are there that say even of your mint and of your garden herbs, meaning those very things that you grow that nobody else knows about, that they were supposed to give a 10% tithe back to God, even on those little tiny things that they do at home that nobody even knows about. They're not going to sell them. They're just going to use them for themselves. But they were supposed to give a tithe on them. And so he's saying, "Woe to you Pharisees, you tell people to do this, but you don't do the more important things." He says, yes, you should give a tithe even on those little tiny things that are there. But above them, beyond that, you still have to give attention to the love of God in every way, to make sure that you are spreading the love of God even more. So those are the weightier things. It's far more important to make sure that everybody you encounter knows that they are loved by God. That's what our Lord is saying. That's the most important thing that you can do there. But you're not doing that, even though you're doing these little tiny, minuscule things that are kind of important, but not the most important. So it is important to give your tithes. It is important, no matter what age you're at. There's not one of you who are here who, I started giving tithes when I was a six-year-old kid, even before that, probably. And my mom only gave me an allowance so that I could put 10% of whatever she gave to me into the tithe box. It's a helpful thing to be able to know and to look at. Father Burnaby's birthday is coming up. And so what does he do with the birthday things that are given to him, even by those who are in his life? 10% right there, right back to God. It's always been that since I was a little kid. What else does he say here? He says, woe to you who like the seat of honors and greetings in the marketplace. So what he's saying here is, woe to you if you think that the most important thing is being recognized for your greatness or being known for how good you are. When somebody pats you on the back and says, "Hey, wow, way to good job." And that's what you're really after in what you do. Not just in the actual words that they say against you, but you're after the praise of other persons. Woe to you is what he's saying, because that's what they thought about was being most important to them. But rather, what's going on you, because you're so full of yourself, it's like you already died. It's like you've already passed into nothingness. And so that is something that needs to be corrected in you as well. And then he gives a final charge after they say, I understand why you're calling those guys on their things, but do you realize you're also offending us who you shouldn't be? And what does he say to that? He says, you don't have your life together either, you guys. And what does he say to the scholars of the law? You interpret the law. You tell us what we're supposed to do, but what don't you do? You lay heavy burdens on the backs of others, but you do nothing to help them. And what is the one thing that should happen? Our Lord doesn't lessen a single one of the laws. Anybody who tells you that Jesus makes following God easier, in a human sense, doesn't know what they're talking about. He always makes it harder. He always says, here's where you think the bar is. Well, it's actually really up there. It's actually really up here. So he makes it more difficult in a human sense. He makes it easier in a spiritual sense, because he says, I'm going to be with you and help you out every step of the way. So it's going to be easier if you just stick with me. But on a human level, it's going to seem like it's way more extreme, because that's what our Lord is always doing. But he says here, when we point out what people need to do, what we also need to do is make it easier for them to live out. And so what is the thing that needs to happen when we talk about the difficulty of following the law? I as a priest, you as those of you who are teaching you in catechism, and those of you who are teaching those who are around you or instructing or helping to correct the ignorance, as it was one of the spiritual works of mercy, what should you do? You also got to try to make it easier for people to live it out by what? By pointing out where are the avenues that somebody could go to get spiritual help. Where are the places where they can reach out and touch God's grace? That's what makes life easier. That's what makes following the laws of God easier. That's what makes the burden lighter, is when you know where to go to get that extra help to be able to do that thing, which, wow, it's a much more difficult thing than I even thought about before. And so what is a priest supposed to do? Always supposed to point you to where you get the greatest strength ever. In the Eucharist. Right there, in the Eucharist. Go to God who is here in the Eucharist. He's actually, really, truly, substantially, actually living, breathing, present here within the Eucharist. And that's the place where you and I get the greatest strength. And how do you receive the Eucharist? You come up here, but what do you got to do before we come up here? That's right, you got to do your first Holy Communion, like Roger said right there. And what do you got to do right before you make your first Holy Communion? You do that afterwards, so that's great, and it strengthens you to be able to do it, although that's the traditional order, so I like that as well. So what do you do right before you make your first Holy Communion? Confession. There we go. Okay, with three of them, we had three shots, and we got a third right answer. That's awesome. You go to confession. That's exactly right. You look at your soul, and you say, is there anything here that's a mortal sin? Have I missed a mass that I should have been at without a grave excuse? Is there any way that I've violated God's law gravely? Have I brought deep and profound harm into the world in some sort of way that I need to unburden myself and realize that everything that goes on there in the confessional, when you confess it, it's over and done with forever. And that sends the death knell to every sin that you possibly could ever confess, possibly could ever endure within your life, when you confess it there. And once you go to that, then that opens up you the opportunity to receive the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the very summit of our faith, the highest, the greatest thing. You become united with God himself, just by receiving him in Holy Communion. That's something we have to go to confession first, to make sure that we've cleansed ourselves so that we can do it. And so that's how the priest helps you to lighten the load, by pointing out to you where it is you can go to receive God's grace, to receive his favor, to receive his strength, to make the steps easier as you follow God. So go to confession. If it's been a while, go to confession there. If you've missed Mass, go to confession. If you've violated God's law, go to confession. If you've committed anything in the area of sixth commandment sin, which is always grave sin, go to confession. And there, what do you find? God's grace to live the life that God has called to you all the more. And that entitles you the opportunity anytime you come to Mass, when you are set free from sin in that way, to receive the greatest grace. In fact, the Eucharist contains every possible grace that God gives sacramentally to any person right here at the altar. And that is how your light, the heavy load of following Christ, is made easier and easier and easier. If you want that load to be light, if you feel that sometimes it is heavy, what do you got to do? That's right. Go to confession. And what does that allow you to be able to do? Receive the Eucharist. That's how the load is made light for those who follow Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.